Father, I thank you and I praise you this morning for the people who came out to sit at your table to be fed fresh manna from heaven. And Father, I ask you right now to complete the works that you started in the people as they stood on the rock. And Father God, by faith, they followed your instructions. And I'm asking you, God, to complete that work. I'm asking you also, Father God, to just to be among us this morning. Let us feel the heaviness of your glory. Let your angelic hosts be walking to and fro, ministering to your people. We didn't come out just because it's Sunday, Father. We came out to sit in your presence and be among the heavenly host. And Father, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. God's entitled us to come out from among them. You know, things are getting worse and worse and worse. And I know that I know that I know that if we don't get this together, we're not going to make it. In other words, I mean, we have to be so close to God that nothing can separate us from God. And, you know, our storms, our trials, our tribulations, whatever you want to call them, God said he's in them with us. But so many of us act like we're in them all alone. And God doesn't want that. He wants us to know that he's right there in the midst of every storm. And yes, we are being fought. We're being fought harder than we've ever been fought before. But God is still with us, and he's in the midst. He's trying to get us to be a loving people, a caring people. You know, people that who will, no matter what the cost, will do it if it's to save a soul. Amen. So God says, come out from among them. He said the stakes are high and they are going to get higher before this is all over with. Children, have I not said, be still and know that I am God? Then why do you constantly keep looking around to see what you can do to remedy the situations around about you? You can do absolutely nothing about the situation except pray. Do you know why you cannot heed my warnings? It is because you do not know how to pray without ceasing. You do not know how to become quiet before me and allow me to dictate my instructions to your hearts. You are so full of self that you think you know all things, when in reality you know nothing about my kingdom. Then he says, you want to have a discourse over that statement? Have at it. I am listening with ears wide open, and that is more than I can say about you. Now let's stop there. If the shoe fits with this sermon, put it on. If it isn't, just say, thank you, God, that somebody in here needs to hear this, and I'll just help them praise their way through their troubles. All right? Because I'm sorry, but the whole body of Christ is not where they should be. We do not understand the fullness of the times, and therefore we're fighting God instead of working with God. God said, let's quit debating and let's get down to business. The business at hand is souls. Always has been and always will be. But your agenda is self, self, self. God said, put self on the shelf for now. And let's proceed ahead and bring in the lost and dying ones. You got to forget about yourself. You're going to have to forget about all your dreams and aspirations. You're just going to have to do what God, go with, I'm hearing God say, go with his flow and do what he's calling you forth to do. God said, the miracle working power of my son Jesus is here. And it is waiting on you to die to self and come up hither and pick up that power, and then go forth undaunted into a dark, dark world that is getting darker by the minute, and pull those souls out of the bondage of the abyss. God said, I will be overlooking this adventure, and I am calling you into this adventure with arms wide open and eyes wide open. In other words, he wants you to have your arms wide open to hug, you know, those who don't know what love's all about, eyes wide open to see what the demonic spirits of darkness are doing, And he said, and accomplish his harvest of souls, just as my disciples of old did. Now, God said, there is a process of winning these souls for my kingdom. And most of you do not know what that process is, simply because you're still holding on to the what about me syndrome. What about me, God? What about my feelings? What about my joy? What about my happiness? It's not about you. Never has been. It's all about God. God said, let's talk about this what about me syndrome. What about you? I have been with you, pulling you out of the abyss. I have been cleansing the inside of the cup, and I have been long-suffering with you, and I have been shedding my grace upon you second by second so you could come forth from the furnace of affliction over and over again. He says, he's always been with you. Do you know those souls out there we are supposed to be winning for Christ don't know that Jesus is with them? They don't understand that they have somebody in the furnace with them. And they're just wandering around out there in a hopeless state. And God is counting on you to win those souls for Christ. He's counting on you to go out there like Jesus and pour God's love into these people. Then God said, when did I ever leave you destitute? The correct answer is never. God says he never has left us nor forsaken us. God said, I was always right there with you, forever holding onto your hands and encouraging you to keep moving, encouraging you to never quit. You cannot say I ever left you or forsook you. Oh, you can say it, but it would be a bold-faced lie. And I know some of us, you know, in the body of Christ, have been in situations where we felt like God had forsaken us, but he never did. If you know your word, when Job went to the courtroom and stood before God and wanted to take you and test you to prove to God that you would leave God if he wasn't holding your hand, God said, go ahead and take him. But Jesus was constantly praying for you. He never left you alone with Satan. He was constantly praying for you that you would not fail. I know that because God told me one time, daughter, keep moving. I'm praying for you. I'm holding your hand. You can go through this valley. You can go through it. You will get to the other side. And one time, you know, I went with a real long battle. He said, daughter, there's light at the end of the tunnel. And I yelled, where is the light? Because you know how the battles get long and they get furious, you know. And God keeps telling you there's a light at the end of the tunnel. Finally, with me in desperation, I said, where is the light? But the light was there. I just had to keep moving. And some of you in here this morning, you have to keep moving. The light is there. It really is there. You don't want to quit now because we are right on the very, very precip of the glory drop. And Satan is trying to get all of God's children that he can get on his side before the glory drops. You don't want to be standing on the opposite side when that glory drops, you know, saying, oh, dear God, why did I forsake you? Why did I listen to the lies that the enemy placed around about me? Why didn't I hold on? But you can say, why, until you're blue in the face. It isn't going to do you any good because you've already missed what God wanted to do with you. You know, I look around, some of you have been here I know you for a long time, and you are the ones that God is dealing with this morning, that he needs you. He needs you desperate and completely. He needs you to get out there and start ministering to the lost and the dying. And I know in this church, a lot of you now are out on the streets, and every weekend you're going somewhere, and your testimonies are powerful that you send me an email. And I pray for you constantly when you're out there. And you're out there doing the Father's work, and he's excited about that. But there's others of us that aren't out there doing the Father's work. And you know people that I won't ever know. You know, you'll come and contact them, and I won't ever come in contact with them, or your brother or sister won't ever come in contact with them. God has already appointed you to be the one to minister salvation to them. And God's saying, don't lose out on one of the best things that you could ever do for the kingdom of heaven, and that is to save a lost soul. Then God says, come, little ones, come out from among them and walk upright in all of your ways and get it together so you can encourage others to come up hither. He says, come, little ones, come out from among them and walk upright in all of your ways and get it together. Why? So you can encourage others to come up hither. You know, you can be an encourager even whenever you yourself are down. You know, you who truly know God, when the enemy is taking you through every loophole he has, you can still encourage others because you know that you know that you know that God is fighting this battle for you and he is there bringing you through while you're doing his work. God says, my kingdom holds all that you will ever need to bring in the lost and the dying. My kingdom holds nothing but truth and light. There is absolutely no darkness whatsoever in my kingdom. My kingdom holds a light so bright that all darkness has to flee from this light. Darkness cannot comprehend such a bright, brilliant light. You see, darkness has never seen true light, and therefore it cannot remain where there is light. You see, darkness has never seen true light, and therefore it cannot remain where there is light. I want to stop there. Are you a light or are you not? Why have you been sitting in the house of God year after year after year if you're not a light? And if you've been sitting in the house of God year after year after year, then you are a light if you submitted yourself to God. And you can take that light into a dark, dark world. You know, the whole time God was speaking this, I thought about Paul. You know, he wrote most of his letters in a prison cell. Been beaten. He's in stocks. But he wrote encouraging letters to the churches, telling them you can make it. You can make it. And you know, you say, well, you don't know what I've gone through. Well, you don't know what I've gone through. You don't really know what everything Paul went through. You don't know everything that Jesus went through because he said what he did, there's not enough books to write what he did. So don't use that excuse. Don't use that excuse for holding on to your past and holding on to your hurts. Don't do that. No, nobody in here knows what somebody else went through. Not really. Unless God tells you. And you're not supposed to look at another person and say, well, you don't know what I'm going through. You're supposed to be looking at Jesus and says, you know all things. And you are with me in this. And you knew I could take this or you wouldn't have given me this assignment. Amen? Come on, guys. All right, God went on to say, the light of the kingdom of light. This light dwells in the heavenly realm. And only those who have given themselves over to me completely can stand in this bright, brilliant light of my kingdom. Now listen to this again. The light of the kingdom of light. This light dwells in the heavenly realm. And only those who have given themselves over to me completely can stand in this bright, brilliant light of my kingdom. Only those who have forsaken all and given themselves totally and completely over to me can come into this brilliant light that surpasses all light. What do you have to do? You have to give yourself totally and completely over to God. Are you listening? You have to give yourself over to God totally and completely. Only those who have forsaken all and given themselves totally and completely over to me can come into this brilliant light that surpasses all light. You might have a light, but you need the kingdom light. You need that light that the devil can't ever quench out. You need that light that's going to keep on burning no matter what you have to go through. Then God said, you are to be carriers of this brilliant light, and you are the ones that I have chosen to walk this path of total righteousness. All right, you guys are here this morning. You're not here by chance. So this applies to you. You are to be carriers of this brilliant light, and you are the ones that I have chosen to walk this path of total righteousness. Y'all, I don't care what you did yesterday. God's calling you to a different walk this morning. There cannot be one spark of darkness in your walk in this realm. Now, God said, I am inspecting each vessel this day And I am checking for any dark spots that still remain. So he's got his little beam of light shining on you right now. And he's checking you for dark spots. Do you ever see that commercial where they show a person's face and, you know, show under the skin after you're out in the sun too much and all that junk's underneath there? Well, that when, you know, when I saw that last night, I thought about that. That's what God's doing. He's beaming his light on us to see what's, if there's any darkness in us. I am inspecting each vessel this day, and I am checking for any dark spots that still remain. He says, still remain. Remember what my son is coming after. He is coming after church without spot nor wrinkle. Then he said, are you wrinkleless? Are you wrinkleless? Ask yourself that question this morning. Are you walking in the bright light of my glory? Are you one of those who are not hiding your light under a bushel? Are you one of those who have committed yourself to an all-out walk of light? Are you listening here? You know, Elizabeth, I'm going to use you as an example. You know, Elizabeth, husband died, and she loved him very much. And so she had to walk out those years without him, and finances were poor, right? And she just kept trusting God, and God delivered, did he not? But see, she never gave up. She let her, every time she would come, she said to her, she was so brilliant, the light was so strong on her, and I knew she was going through rough times because God told me she was. But yet she just hung in there and trusted and believed in her Father, and he came through for her. And he wants to come through for you too this morning. He wants to supply every one of your needs. All right, then God said, if you are, if you're one of those he just talked about, get ready for the ride of your life. Get ready to cut the giant's head off over and over again. Get ready to free souls from the abyss. Get ready to see into the glory realm and glean from my heavenly kingdom. He says, get ready, get ready, get ready. I'm telling you guys, you just need to understand it. I don't care what we've been going through. It is worth it all. It is really worth it all. Because our God has been with us all these years. And he knew exactly what you were going to go through. He knew exactly what your walk was going to be right like. And he was building you up, and he was encouraging you. And he was saying, light become brighter. Light become brighter. And about the time you think your light's real bright, here comes the devil with a situation to try to snuff out your light, doesn't he? And you have to hold on to that light for dear life. And see, the enemy knows exactly where to touch you. He knows exactly how to try to distinguish your light. But guys, you can't allow him to do that. If you want to go ahead and cry for a season, go ahead. Go in your corner and cry. There's nothing wrong with that. But get back up again. And say, devil, you are not going to defeat me because I am the victorious one. God said, you are on the threshold of one of the biggest adventures in church history. I know that I keep saying that, and I will continue to say that until that day arrives. You see, I am constantly getting you ready to walk in the supernatural. I am constantly getting you ready to walk where others have never walked before. For this is a dispensation of time when the plowman will overtake the reaper and the enemy will no longer be able to stop you dead in your tracks. The anointing will be so strong that the enemy will not dare come near your dwelling place and you will no longer fear him. This is what we're stepping into. This is the next phase of our journey with God. In Amos 9:13 in the Message Bible reads, yes, indeed, it won't be long now. God's decree. Things are going to happen so fast your head will swim. One thing fast on the heels of the other. You won't be able to keep up. Isn't that what God's been telling us was going to happen? Everything will be happening at once and everywhere you look. Blessings. Blessings like wine pouring off the mountains and hills. And then Amos 9:13 in the Amplified Bible says, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that the plowman shall overtake the reaper and the treader of grapes who sows the seed. And the mountains shall drop sweet wine, all the hills shall melt. That is, everything heretofore barren and unfruitful shall overflow with spiritual blessings. We're going to be blessed and blessed and blessed and blessed and blessed. Don't let discouragement settle in. Just don't let it settle in. It can come, but you don't have to let it settle in. And I don't know about you, but discouragement has been coming and coming and coming and coming. But, you know, you say, nope, I'm not going to walk in that. It leaves. It can't stay if you don't open the door. You know, it doesn't matter what the enemy is. All right, so Paul, you know, he had a thorn in the flesh. He had a person who was persecuting him. And God said, don't worry about that. I'll take care of that. You just keep doing my will. And, you know, Satan always sends a person to persecute you. He always sends a person to try to drag you down. But see, you're going to have to stay strong in the Lord, and you're going to have to know what your calling is all about, and you're going to have to keep going no matter what is going on around about you. You cannot stop. Do not stop. You will be sorry if you do. God's getting ready to really move. Are you going to be there when he moves? Ask yourself that question. You still do, where am I at? Transitions have been taking place constantly. I've been at work transitioning you into the new realm of glory that you will need to walk in order to do all the great and mighty exploits it would take to bring in this harvest of souls. You know, you're going through one transition after another. About the time you think that you're through a transition, and God starts another transition. And why is he doing that? He said, I have been at work transitioning you into the new realm of glory. He's taking us to a new realm that you will need to walk in order to do all the great and mighty exploits it would take to bring in this harvest of souls. You still do not comprehend the meaning of the words supernatural, miracle, walking, time. This lost generation will need to see the supernatural work on all sides. It will take the supernatural working in order to bring them to the cross. You see, my son, Jesus came with the supernatural working in his ministry, and he harvested the souls at that given time. The disciples came forth with the supernatural working, and look at the great harvest of souls they brought forth. God said, you, on the other hand, think you can just walk willy-nilly, and the souls will fall into my kingdom. He said, not so. You, too, will have to walk in the supernatural to see this mighty harvest come into my kingdom. You too must pay the ultimate price of self in order for the harvest to be brought in. God said, I have been watching and I have been handpicking those that will walk in the supernatural and bring my glory to earth. These are those ones that have paid the ultimate price over and over again and dusted themselves off and proceeded forth undaunted by the enemy. And it is those that I am choosing to do this great and mighty works. Are you one of those? Hear what God said. He's been working with us, and we are chosen vessels that he's been working with and getting all that darkness out of us so we can be nothing but pure lights that he can send forth. I'm hearing God say right now, some of you have become so disgruntled because I haven't done exactly what you wanted me to do the way you wanted it. And he's saying, keep on being disgruntled and I will pass you on by. But if you would just trust me and you would just stay the course with me, you're going to see all your dreams come forth. All right? So if you're being disgruntled, don't be disgruntled. You're not the only one that's going through in that boat. God always says you're not the only one in the boat. There's many more in the boat with you. So let's not be disgruntled. Let's just go ahead and God said, and survive through this transition. He said, some of you are just going to feel like you're just surviving, and that's all you're doing through this transition. But he says, keep on going, because you're going to make it. All right, so God said all that, and he said, are you one of those? He said, if not, do not get upset with me, and do not get distraught over what you see others being used to do. You have had equal opportunity to do the very same works, but you continue to think you can hold back 10% for yourself. See, if God spoken, he had already spoken this piece of paper. Do you really love God? I mean, do you really truly love God? Do you really truly love Jesus and what he did for you on the cross? You know, if you do, then your actions will change. You won't be doing the same things you even did this morning, but you'll change. You'll become humble before a humble king, and you'll be thanking him continually that he's been with you and he's never forsaken you. All right, so if not, do not get upset with me and do not get distraught over what you see others being used to do. You have had equal opportunity to do the very same works, but you continue to think and hold back 10% for yourself. Well, that 10% is keeping you out of the supernatural walk. Give all to me and I will give all back to you. Hold back 10% and I will give nothing to you. I have said and I will always say, give me 100% and I will give you 100%. You see, this is all about you and what you decide. I have already done all that I am going to do. Decision time has been going on far too long now. It is not okay to keep the 10%. Some of you still have not sold out to God 100%. You're holding on to that 10% and it's taking your ministry from you. God said, when I do a works, I do a complete works, and I have been trying for a decade now to do a complete works in my body of believers. Some will not acknowledge that they are 90%ers. They have their heads stuck in the sand, convincing themselves that they are okay and the world is all wrong. Get your head out of the sand, shake the sand off of yourselves, look around at the darkness and the depraved souls. Now repent and go forward undaunted and be one that I will choose to do the supernatural events that need to be seen in this dark, gloomy land. Some of you will have to repent this afternoon when you leave here. You're going to have to go before God and repent. And I'm even hearing God say, do communion with him and repent for holding back the 10% when he's asked you for 100% of yourself. Remember, he told me, I don't want 99.9% of you. If I can't have all of you, then I don't want any of you. And if you give God all of you, then you will obey his word. You will be a loving vessel that God can work through. But Mark, I'm just going to tell you what God keeps telling me. You know Gary Whetstone, his building. God said, look for a building like that, son, because that's what I have prepared for you. Then God goes on to say, America will be called great again. You can believe that statement or not, but America will be called great again, and the enemy will have to flee. And you will see the darkness become light, and you will see salvations all over this United States. All right? America will be called great again. You can believe that statement or not, but America will be called great again, and the enemy will have to flee. And you will see the darkness become light, and you will see salvations all over the United States. The enemy has had his way for too long in this United States. But now is the time to blow the lid off of the enemy's plans. And now is the time for my chosen vessels of honor to go forth and conquer on all sides. All right, God went on to say, I'm not a God of confusion. And I am breaking up all the confusion that the enemy has sown in my houses of worship. There will be a light shining so brightly in my houses that when the enemy walks through the doors, all darkness will flee, and there will be absolute peace in my houses of pure worship. God said, I'm a father that loves true worship, and I am bringing true worship back into my houses once again. It used to be that when you walk through the doors of my houses, my people would feel peace and joy and be undaunted by things of the world. The enemy stole that peace, but I am restoring that peace once and for all, and the enemy will have no say-so over what I do. For my people will finally understand that they are the victorious ones, not the enemy, and they will finally understand that they are the ones that have the total victory, and they will give the enemy no place of authority. Won't that be wonderful, Elizabeth? I know you go places and you see where the enemy has taken over the churches, and it makes me sad just to even hear the things that I hear. Even I don't go to other churches anymore, but it's sad to hear what you do hear and to know that the people are out there being led astray over and over and over again. God said, children, always remember that my promises are always yes and amen, and I am not a man that I should lie. And I am for you and not against you. And this is the day that the prophets of old wanted to see. Now God had said, well, he says, the plowman shall overtake the reaper. Beloved, the days have come in which the plowman shall overtake the reaper and the treader of grapes of him that sows the seed. I know what you have need of even before you speak it. My child, before a word is on your tongue, I know it completely. I am the author and perfecter of your faith, beloved. The time has now come that before you call, I will answer, and while you are yet speaking, I will hear. At my word, the mountains shall drop sweet wine, and the mountains before you shall melt away. Now, we read this scripture, Amos 9:13, before. We're going to read it again. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that the plowman shall overtake the reaper, and the treader of grapes him that sows seed, and the mountains shall drop sweet wine, and all the hills shall melt. Now, I researched this for quite some time yesterday, and what God is telling us, you know, right, we're harvesting lost souls, and we think we have them harvested, but they're really not all harvested. Before we can even, the dust can even settle, he's going to get send us to harvest more souls. And we're never going to have time to just sit still, because everything is going to be totally active, and we're always going to be on the move for God. All right? And in one place I read where it said, you know, in the wintertime they rested, but you won't be able to rest because the sower's going forth and sowing the seeds. And there, so when there is a sower goes forth and sows the seeds, these are more souls that need to come into the kingdom. And so it's just going to be work, 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 work for the kingdom of God. And I think that's awesome. So some of you are complaining because you have to be in church so often. Or because, well, I start spending the weekends, you know, out there working for God. Get ready, because it's going to be a seven-day experience. And God told us we would be even in the house all day and all night, didn't he? So this is where God has taken us to. And then Psalm 139:4 says, before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. And then Isaiah 65:24 said, and it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer, and while they're yet speaking, I will hear. In other words, God already knows what he wants you to do. He already knows what you have need of. Before you even pray, he's always made it happen for you. And all we have to do is walk in the fullness of what he's called us for to do. And then Psalm 138:8 says, the Lord will perfect that which concerns me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endures forever. David says, the Lord will perfect that which concerns him. Thy mercy, O Lord, endures forever. And Isaiah 55:11 said, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. And you know, whenever God told me last night to put the rock up, and as you were standing on the rock, I was saying, God, by faith, they're trusting what I said. And by faith, I did what you asked me. And now I'm asking you to do the work that they need done in their bodies. I pray that over each one of you that stood on the rock. Because I know the rock is anointed, and I know what God told me to do. See, and this is what you have to do when you go forth. You have to know what God's telling you to do, then go forth and do it. And you know, I've been reading a lot, and I know this is true, that God uses those with scars. He doesn't use those that just sit in the nice little ivory houses and don't do anything and never get hurt. He uses us who, all right, so, you know, you could have been a drug addict, could have been an alcoholic, you know, you could have been in a bad marriage. You know, he uses people like that. You have scars, and you, because the scars, you have compassion, and you have long-suffering, and love, it just abounds wherever you go. All right, so you're the type of people that God is looking for. Come on. God said your scars will bring so many souls into the kingdom of light. Cherish your scars. Don't let them go. And Hebrews 12:2 says, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And what does God say? I mean, Hebrews say in 12:2, let us fix our eyes on Jesus. On Jesus, not on people around about us. The author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. You're going to have to endure a cross. Your assignments are your cross. Some of your assignments are not going to be nice. Some of your crosses are going to be really a mess. But you're going to have to go forth, endure those crosses, and let God bring you through these things. Because if God told you to do it, he is with you in it. And he has already equipped you to do what he's called you forth to do. You have nothing to worry about. You don't have to work anything up. You just have to go, because God has already perfected you and already made you a vessel of honor that he can work through. Are you understanding this morning? God's been saying for over 10 years now, that his glory was going to drop. And he told me when the first time I told it, he said, don't grow weary in telling them that their glory was going to drop. I didn't grow weary, but I put the tongue in my cheek each time I said it. But God, we're headed for one of the biggest glory drops, and I know that. I know it without a shadow, but I just know that I know that we are in for one of the biggest glory drops that the church has ever seen. We were in for one of the biggest miracle working times that the church has ever seen. And God has been preparing each one of your hearts to get ready to be a vessel of honor that he can work through. And, you know, as I hear some of your testimonies of what, you know, Astrid and Barbara and, you know, what and Grace and, you know, what you encounter on the streets and in the different places you go, I sit sometimes and cry because here are these souls are after all this time, and it took God so long to get you ready to go and do the works that you needed, that he needed done years ago. But, you know, they're getting done. And God is well pleased with each one of you. He's well pleased with what you've been doing for him. And he's just encouraging you to keep on going and don't quit. Days are going to get darker. They're going to get darker. And if you think they're going to get better, they're not. But see, the only way that America is going to be great again is if the church starts doing her job. That and America, God has told me years ago, America is going to be great again. I don't want to get my evening service, but it's the church. The church. Who's the church? Every one of us in here, we're the church, right? And you know, this thing of, you know, I'm Bishop so-and-so, and I have 10 degrees. You know, God doesn't care about that. All he wants is a willing vessel that will say, yes, Lord, here am I, use me. Then prepare for one of the worst times of your life. Because Satan was standing there and heard you say, here I am, Lord, use me. And he'll start harassing you like you wouldn't believe. But as you remember who you are in Christ Jesus, you are the victorious one. And he is the defeated one. You'll find yourself winning battle after battle after battle. And instead of you complaining about what's going on, you're going to find yourself talking to God, say, God, how can we rectify this thing? What is it you want me to do? What's my part to play in getting this lost soul saved? You see what I'm saying here? Before, we didn't think about that before, but we have to start thinking about now. God, what is my part? You put this lost soul in front of me, and you said you give me the strength to take care of this lost soul. What is my part in bringing this soul forth? We know God's going to do his, but he needs vessels. You know, when God say die to self, he really does mean that. You can't really have any feelings. You know, don't you believe that? Sometimes in your work, you can't really have any feelings. You just say, I'm Jesus. and I can endure all things. And then you have to just keep working with that soul until you finally see it break and come forth. I don't know how many times I said, God, I don't exist. I'm not in this. This is Jesus doing this work. I'm just the vessel that he's working through. Because if I didn't die to self like that, I wouldn't be able to see, you know, work through what God would have me work through to get a soul saved. Some of your street people, they're really hardened people. I mean, they're hard people. And it's going to take Jesus in you manifested in order for you to be able to stay in peace and in love to bring them forth. How many of you have met people that you just want to bop them on the head because you minister to them, and they still, you know, act like you never even said a word to them. You just like to walk up and slap them, but you can't. You walk up and put your arms around them and say, I really do love you. Don't love you. You say to yourself, I don't love your devil, but I really do love you. You say that out loud, right? And you just keep praying and saying, God, lead me and guide me because I don't know how to deal with this. You know what's inside this person. I don't, besides the devil. You know, I don't know what made him be like this. So here I am, God, just use me as a love vessel. I'm dead. And if we really believe that we were heavenly beings who sat down and talked with God, because this is all in the Word, we've brought this forth, and God, and you agreed with God that you'd be sent here on earth as a vessel for him to work through, to win souls, then you won't be fighting with yourself all the time, will you? Will you, Brother Mark? You'll be fighting yourself, will you? You'll say, God, I know that I know I told you I would do this, so here I am. Tears and all, here I am. Just go ahead and continue to use me. It's not about me. It's about souls. How many of you are ready to come out from among them? Separate yourself from the things of the world. I mean, you're still going to have to be right in the middle of that den of thieves. But what God is saying, when he says, come out from among them, he's saying, don't you be like one of them. You keep your light pure. And you go where God told me last night, he said, my son always went where the sinner was. He didn't go where the saints were. And he said, but my children think they're supposed to go where the saints are and shun the sinners. He said, they have it all backwards. And isn't that how it is? You know, we think, well, we can't go around anybody that's drinking or around a drug addict because, after all, they're sinners. Well, that's why you're here. You're here to minister to those sinners. We need to remember that one time we were a sinner too. We were not always perfected. And God is really upset about that. He's because my people forget from whence they came. I don't know about you, but I have to continue to remind my family that. You're forgetting from whence you came. So, and, you know, they get mad at you when you tell them that, but you have to keep telling them that. You were there once too. But look what God did for you. You have to do the very same thing. Well, I just can't deal with this. I said, well, do you think God liked dealing with you? Do you think the people around about you felt like dealing with you when you were ugly and unlovable? No, they didn't. So you wanted God to love you, and you wanted the people around about you to understand. Now you did the very same thing. What are God saying? What are you encountering today out there in the world? What are you encountering in the church? Are you encountering it with the glory of God, or are you encountering it with your flesh? If you encounter the things with the glory of God, you'll be able to love those people through it. But if you're going through there with the flesh, you're never going to win a soul. This morning, what God wants to do is he wants you who want to be the glory carriers walking in the supernatural, because this is what he's saying. You have to walk in the supernatural to have signs, wonders, and miracles follow you. He wants you to come to the altar. He doesn't want you to just go floop and fall out. He wants you to come to the altar and line up. Then I'm going to go down and anoint you with oil. Then whatever God does with you at that point is between you and God.